everlasting life for the believer in Christ, but wrath for the unbeliever. That's the message for today as we continue this verse-by-verse Bible study in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 22 through 36 today. Just a brief synopsis from yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. We spoke about the new birth, being born again. Jesus made it clear that you must be born again. There's a fleshly birth and there's a spiritual birth. So without that spiritual birth, you'll never see heaven. And Jesus actually prophesied his own death when he spoke about that brass serpent that he told Moses to put on a pole back there in the Old Testament, book of Numbers, chapter 21. That was a type of the cross. That was a type of Christ being lifted up. He says, I'm going to be lifted up. So remember the people in Numbers 21, the rebellious Israelites, the Lord sent snakes, poisonous snakes to bite them. They were dying. Many died. Multitudes of children of Israel died. But when they looked at the lifted up serpent, the brass serpent, they would live if they looked at that. And it was a type of the cross. So you as a sinner, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. So I just want to bring those points that we went through yesterday, and everlasting life is found in Jesus Christ. So now let's get back to the Gospel of John. We're looking at verses 22 through 25. It says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. So the people They were gathered and they were asking questions. It doesn't really explain exactly what they were going into detail about being purified. Obviously, probably had to do with the baptism of John, and Jesus was also baptized. And so it doesn't go deep into detail there. So we'll just leave that as it was right there. So if you look at verses 26 to 28, it says, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So, what was taking place, you know, people were now gathering to follow Jesus. And keep in mind, John made it very clear, you know, when the people were sent to ask him, you know, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Are you this? And John made it clear, you know, he said to them, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. So now Jesus is baptizing people. Actually, it wasn't him. It was his disciples were baptizing. But obviously, he was preaching to them, and people were getting saved. They were getting baptized. So people, you know, that were following John for all of this time, he still had a following. They said, you know, hey, John, do you realize he's baptizing? So look what John says. He says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. He's basically saying, remember, I told you that. I am not the Christ. So that's what he was making clear. So it's important that you remember, ladies and gentlemen, that John prepared the way for Jesus Christ. These prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. And that's what John knew that. So he knew who he was. If you remember, he said that he was the voice that crieth in the wilderness. And that goes back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. I'm going to read it to you. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So, you know, it's beautiful, folks, when you dig into the Word of God and you see how the Scriptures fit together perfectly. The prophecies regarding Christ were fulfilled in him when he came. So what was taking place here at this moment in this chapter that we're talking about, folks, I call it the great handoff, okay? You know, the people have relay races, and they'll have like maybe four guys running or four ladies running. And, you know, they each have a little part of the track they got to run, and then they pass the baton on to the next person. And then finally, the last guy gets to cross the finish line as they're racing. So I look at it this way. John the Baptist was one of the prophets. In fact, the Lord said there's no prophet greater. And he's passing a baton on, ladies and gentlemen, to the one who was prophesied to come, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Here he was in living color. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Malachi 3:1, this is another prophecy. I want you to see this. This is also speaking of John the Baptist. Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Glory to God. So I want you to see that. I'm still in the book of Malachi from the Old Testament, another prophecy. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." My, oh my, who's this talking about? This is talking about John the Baptist. Oh, yes, it is. So I bring that up for a reason, ladies and gentlemen, because the Jewish people, the unbelievers in Christ, until this day, they believe Elijah is yet to come. In fact, just this morning, by coincidence, but not by coincidence, you know, I was looking at a YouTube video of a group of Jewish people. They were have this lively worship and so on and so forth, but this particular time was a teaching, and I just was hitting the thing where you can look at different parts of the video, and I just happened to see the rabbi was talking about Elijah and how during this time, it was obviously from last year during COVID, and he says, we need Elijah. So you notice, folks, he's not saying we need Christ because they don't believe in him. They're still waiting for Elijah to come, but I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ made it clear that Elijah has come already, and it's in the person of John the Baptist. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. Jesus speaking, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And, listen, if ye will receive it, this is Elias," or Elijah, "which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So, Jesus made it clear right then and there. He says, if you will receive it. This is Elijah. He's talking about John the Baptist. And hear me now, folks, you better receive it, because this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, speaking to you, and he's saying, John the Baptist, this is Elijah, which was for to come. This is the one who was prophesied to come. Then he goes on to say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, obviously, everybody probably had physical ears, so he's not talking about their physical ears. He's saying, look, if you want to hear this in the spirit, then listen up. So you need to know, John the Baptist fulfilled this prophecy regarding Elijah. There are many teachings out there, false teachings that push things out into the future, push this stuff into a future millennial age. That's why I'm preaching the way I am. You need to know this, folks. In this chapter, as I said, chapter 3, you're either in or you're out. You are either born again or you're not. You either have everlasting life or you don't. And this is why I'm preaching the word. This is the word of God. This is the truth of the gospel, the glad tidings. Beautiful. So You know, the Jewish people in the modern day still reject Jesus Christ for the most part. Obviously, you have pockets of believers. They call them Messianic Jews. So for the most part, you know, in fact, if you look at YouTube videos at some of the street evangelists over there in Israel, you'll see the reaction of the people, the Jewish people, is just the same as it was in the time of Christ. They don't want anything to do with Jesus being the Messiah. I've encountered this myself, folks. So it's not limited to Israel. It's wherever you're preaching the gospel, perhaps to a group of people who might happen to be Jewish people. Let's go now to John 3:29-30. It says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." So what's happening here? So John is still letting his followers know that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, folks. So, and he's referring to himself as the friend of the bridegroom, but Christ is the bridegroom. This is beautiful. You know, if you go to a wedding, you know, sometimes you have the groom and then you have a best man, okay? So the best man will take care of certain things and so on and so forth, but he's not the bridegroom. The bridegroom gets the bride. Hallelujah. So you need to see this, folks. Hear me now. If you are part of the body of Christ, I don't care if you're Jewish or Gentile, you are part of the bride. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. Jewish or Gentile, male or female, young or old, I don't care what color your skin is, you are part of the bride. Oh, yes, you are. And the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. So even in the Old Testament, listen up, folks, there was a church. So the church, I want to make that clear, the church is the bride. Oh, yes, the living bride, the living stones with the church. And even in the Old Testament, folks, there was a church. Oh, yes, there was. The word ecclesia means the called out ones. You're called out. So if you go, I'm going to show you in the book of Acts, chapter 7, right here. Let's go to chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. It says, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church, ecclesia, in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us," speaking to, when the word of God, the Ten Commandments, were handed down through Moses and so on and so forth. But you see here, he's referring to those group of people, the called out ones. It's the church. So what we have here is, folks, in the Old Testament, all of the people were true people of God. There's always a remnant. That's the church. So you are part of the universal true church, folks. And those are people who are born again of the Spirit. So there are pockets of people all over the world, in every country, China, Russia, U.S., England, Australia, New Zealand, you name it, where there are true believers who have been born again of the Spirit. You are part of that ecclesia. You've been called out. Glory to God. Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Hallelujah. "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Hallelujah. So you're part of the bride if you're a believer, and you're the Lamb's wife. Who's the Lamb of God? Obviously, it's Jesus Christ. So if you're not part of the bride if you're not believing. So, you know, some people think that the Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus, somehow they're the bride. They're not. The bride, the people of God, the chosen people of God, the church, the believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's exactly what we're talking about. Let's get back to John now. John chapter 3, verse 31. This is John still speaking. John the Baptist, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. I like this. This ministers to me, folks. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ came down from above, folks. Take comfort in that. He that cometh from above is above all. The Jesus Christ that we believe in, the Jesus Christ whom we serve, he came from above. You need to know that. In the time of trouble, you need to know that the one who you believe in came down from above and that he loves you. He came down for a purpose, folks. He's on your team. You need to know that. John 3:32, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. So this is speaking of Christ. It says, and no man receiveth his testimony. Now, when we use that term, no man, obviously, it's basically saying the majority of people, nobody's listening to him. That's what it's saying. But obviously, there were pockets, small pockets, a remnant of people who did believe in him. So think about this. Here's God in the flesh. He's preaching nothing but perfect truth. And yet, the majority of people did not believe in him. Let's go to verse 33 to 35 now. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. My, oh my. So those who believe, people like me and you, if you're a believer, you're set into the seal. You're saying God is true. You're taking the word of God that was preached. You're listening to the testimony of Jesus Christ, and you're saying this is true. Oh, yes, this is true. I remember hearing the preacher, you know, as a new Christian, hearing the preacher preach under the anointing, and I just shouted out to myself, to those who were close to me, I said, this guy's speaking the truth. There's something in a minister when he's preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's something inside you say, this guy's telling the truth. And that's the Holy Spirit doing that to your heart. That's exactly what it is. When we believe, it says, he that hath received his testimony is set to a seal that God is true. You're in agreement with the testimony of Jesus and everything that's coming out of his mouth. And it shows us here, the Father loves the Son. He's given all things into his hand. Oh, yes, that's powerful. Remember what Jesus said when he rose from the dead. He said, all power has been given to me unto me in heaven and in earth. Whoa! You know, you want to talk about deity. If this man who rose from the dead says, I got all power in heaven and earth, if that's not divinity and deity, then what is? He has all power. The Father's given it to him. Okay? So it was given it to him, the beauty of the triunity of the eternal Godhead. Hallelujah. So Revelation 1:9, as we're looking at this testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:9, this is speaking of the writer of the gospel. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here's this guy, he's persecuted, and they have him now on the Isle of Patmos. And what was the reason? How did he get there? It says he's there because of the word of God. He was persecuted for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen up, folks. There's a persecution coming. You can see it building. You can feel it. There's a gross darkness in the land that can almost be felt. You can almost grab it. You see everything that's going on around you, folks. So you're digging into the word of God. It's a good thing. Do it. Get closer to the Lord, for the hour is dark. The hour is late. Don't forget that, folks. So here's John. The Lord brought this man through, okay? He suffered. He was persecuted. And the reason he was persecuted was for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the word of God. Revelation 19 and verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What's taking place here? John's getting these revelations, and now he's an angel talking to him, and John immediately fell down and bowed before him. And what did the angel say? He says, "Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm one of you guys. I'm on your team. Look at that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Look at that, folks. The angels are on our side. But don't worship angels. He says, "Don't do it. Don't do it." You know? And yet we're living in a day where people bow down before the Pope. I mean, it's disgraceful. This man's using the name of Jesus. This man of darkness traveling in the world, going around the world, and people bow before him, touching him, kissing his ring. It's ridiculous, folks. The man's on his way to hell. He needs to be prayed for. And yet here's an angel saying, "Don't do it. Don't even think about it." Remember Peter with Cornelius, "Stand up. I'm a man. What are you doing here?" You see, a true Christian, when you realize who you are and that you're nothing but a wretch that's been saved by the grace and mercy of God, you realize that you are on the way to hell without the grace and mercy of God, and that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not going to allow people to bow. You say, look, my friend, perhaps you mean well, but look, please don't do that. Please don't do that. So that's what's taking place here. So, you know, people bowing down before statues of Mary, these apparitions of Mary and all of this stuff, it's from the pit of hell. It's Satan. It's demonic. So it's all about Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. No mention of Allah or Mohammed or Buddha or anything else. Don't bow before people for the apparitions of Mary and all that demon activity. It's just the Lord. Worship God. Worship Him alone. Let's close it out here with John 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I've said it once, I've said it many times, you know, ever since I've been saved, folks. I knew, you know, either you're saved or you're not. And if you're a true believer, you've been born again of the Spirit, you have everlasting life. But if you're not a believer, the wrath of God is upon you right now. And that includes, I knew this from the time I was saved, the majority of the people in the world. I don't care where you go, what country you go to, most people do not believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. Don't believe in Jesus Christ. And they don't realize, just like it was me. That was me before I came to know the Lord. Partying, doing this, having fun, on my way to hell. The wrath of God was upon me, folks. Oh, yes, it was, until I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there were religious people who used the name of Jesus, but they don't know the Lord. You know, we used to witness to Kathy's father. We go to the nursing home. He was there with Kathy's mom. And, you know, Kathy's mother then died, but he was there a few years after that also. You know, we would witness to him and so on and so forth. And, you know, Kathy's relatives knew she was a born-again Christian. You know, and one time, one of the people was talking with Kathy's father, and Kathy found this out from her father. And Kathy's father said, you know, he came here and he did the cuckoo sign. Your daughter's cuckoo, okay? That's what I'm talking about, folks. We're dealing with eternity here. These are people that are ready to pass into eternity, and we're preaching the word of God to the relatives to try to get them saved. Your daughter's cuckoo, you see? And she heard this from her father, that one of her relatives. We know, you know, we don't hold it against it. Well, we know, folks, we're in a war. We're in a war for souls. My, oh, my. So this is, you know, I've been saved, folks, since 1989. This is like normal. You see this stuff, you'd see it in close one-on-one situations. There's a battle for souls. Oh, yes, there is. So don't forget that the believer, the true believer, you're born again of the Spirit, you have everlasting life. But the unbeliever, the wrath of God is still upon them. It could be upon you right now if you're not saved. Don't put it off, folks. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late, and you be blessed in the Lord today.